The reading is from the Epistle of, according to John, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. The first thing about this passage that struck me was they were hiding. They were afraid. It says they were in this room, and there were more than 12. There's probably close to 150 people or so in this room. And a lot of times they're in this room praying and singing praises with Jesus and everything. And now they are locked in this room for fear. In the Bible, I don't know how many times it says, "Fear not." This is all about belief and faith, this whole passage. And it culminates with Thomas, someone that had been with Jesus for the whole time, and he's known as Doubting Thomas. "Oh, we're going to go to Jerusalem. Oh, there we go. We might as well go and die with Jesus." Always doubting. I always said Thomas was from Missouri, the show me state. You had to show Thomas what this was all about. We went through the Gospel of Mark, and a lot of times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is shown is the humanity of Christ, that he was this suffering servant. At that time, he would tell his disciples things, and they wouldn't understand. It was somewhat dull. He said, "But I've told you this, and I told you this." And breaking through that heart of stone, or the mind of stone, is the hardest thing we have to deal with as Christians. Because you look at the world, and we see all these things happening, and we say, just like some of the psalmists, "Oh God, be close to me, be near me. My enemies are close at hand." But here, on that night, Jesus appeared, or that day, he appears to them. As he has been with them, he appeared to them, whether it in Galilee or wherever the story is, he appears. And the disciples who lost their best friend, you know what it's like to even lose an animal. The heartbreak, the separation, Jesus says he's back. What they must have felt when they abandoned him, but also the sadness of losing your teacher. And in the end here, Thomas says something very interesting. After you prove to somebody, "Well, I don't believe you guys," but Jesus said twice, "Peace be with you." The third time he said it was in front of Thomas. Three is a very important number in the Bible, not just the Trinity. Three times this happened. three times Peter denied him. So there's this three that has to be registered and rectified. And Jesus is teaching them about peace. That's different than not war. A lot of times I'm praying here for peace. It's this soul calming part of our lives that sometimes is missing in this world. The world's a tough thing to give up. But as Christians, Jesus is telling us the peace that he gives us. Not some peace that, hey, we're not getting in a fight with those kids down the block. Not that. This is peace, the real peace. That no matter what happens, you know that you are in his hands. So Jesus breathes on them. This is the first time that Jesus is now breathing on them, getting them ready with this Holy Spirit. Because we see in Acts 2 that we're going to celebrate at Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit comes like a rushing wind. He is preparing them for the Holy Spirit. This is the precursor. They're getting the Holy Spirit. Well, somebody's missing. It's Thomas. And when the disciples told him, hey, you missed it. Jesus was here. Nope. This is a lesson of seeing and believing. And Jesus sums it up best. Those who didn't see, and that's talking about us. How many people lived in first century Palestine? To believe, faith, redemption, restoration comes through that. No matter what everybody says, no matter what this happens, we are leaning on Jesus. We sang songs last week. We're singing songs now. I know that my Redeemer lives. I haven't seen him. I used to tell the kids in my Sunday class back in First Reformed, it's not that you have to see, you have to feel. It's other senses. It's not that the knowledge. We talk about knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is of the greater. Knowledge tells you there is wisdom. The wisdom of Christ lives within us. It's whether we open that door. So Thomas sees it and he says, oh, my Lord and my God. No fooling. He's been your Lord and your God the whole time. But once he went, he said, well, again, we have to remember the messianic promise. The messianic promise in the Old Testament, or the Hebrew scriptures, is that the Messiah will restore Israel. So this can't be the real Messiah, can it? Because he's going to beat the Romans. Well, he didn't beat the Romans. He beat the Romans in another way. He took away the sin of the world. If you believe. And unfortunately, with what we see around us all the time, it sort of shades and clouds what we believe. We're the church. The church is the Bible. We are a community, a different community. We don't want to morph into what everything's going around. We want to be the church. And that's what Jesus is saying. You are the church. You will be the church. You are my followers. You are the ones that are going to go out and spread the word. Not all of us are gifted, say like Cheryl, that can go out and speak to people. But Jesus says, when they see the love, they will know that you are mine. So not everybody is gifted, as Paul would say later on. Some are gifted at this, some are gifted at that, some are gifted in this, some are speak several languages, others that can do many wondrous deeds of healing. And that's what he says. We're different parts of the body. Jesus is saying that you're not all the same, including Peter. Who was the leader, the sergeant at arms? You all have special gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Use our gifts. Let's be different. That's what separates the church from everything else. The problem is everything is muddled today. We need to get back to what this says. It says, believe in me. And he did many wondrous things. But how many miracles did Jesus do? And they're still wondering what he is sometimes. But Peter was the one that said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Nobody else said that. But yet Peter is this mercurial figure that goes back and forth. And of course he didn't want Christ to die. He can't have, the Messiah can't die. That's from the older book. But they didn't know what God's plan was. God's plan was for salvation, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, peace to all of you. As we say in Aramaic, we say Shlomo, means peace. Peace be with Shlomo Luchum, Shlomo. Peace be with you, and passed on and to you. It's something that comes directly from Jesus' mouth. May the word of the Lord be with you.
Thank you, Bob, so much for that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your scripture. Lord, we thank you for Bob, who you send your Holy Spirit to speak through him. Lord, help us to embrace that peace that only comes from you and to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning comes from question and answer number 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. I always find peace in this question and answer because it sums up so much of Christ's love for us. Please join me. What is our one and only comfort in life and in death? My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to him. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him.